5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
You are listening to StMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Hey, welcome back once again to this week's St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. And we're going to go around the room real quick and just introduce ourselves once again.
I'm Taylor Green.
Brenda Rosemary.
Anna Yaka.
And I am your host, at least for now, Mike Barone. And we are very, very blessed today because we're going to be listening to some of the music performed by Station 14. Now, they have not written these songs, but they've picked some really wonderful contemporary Christian music tunes to do, and they are very edifying to the body of Christ. We've been very blessed with them here at St. Michael's Parish as they have played at our Mass for the Youth a couple times this year. Actually, how many times this year? Maybe eight?
The whole time that we've
had
it.
So it's been really good. And they also play out at St. Francis de Sales in Newark, Ohio. So sometimes they even did double whatever. They came twice, you know, once over there and then once back here. And wow, that's like a long trip to make just to be able to play music for the Lord to facilitate the Mass. So anyway, I had a chance to talk to Chris Rockwell of Station 14 earlier today, and here's what he said about the band and its inception.
The Station 14 was formed about 6 years ago, I guess it was, and it's in its present form, it's been we've been together in this form for about 4 years, I guess, but we really came together and focused around a single purpose, and that was to help minister and be available to young people through music. And so to that end, we do a lot of conferences, youth conferences, and we regularly do Mass services every weekend. And what we found is that it's been a way for us to sort of reach out to young people and to learn from young people. I think one of the things we find is that we learn a lot from young people as well, which is really powerful for us. So, Station 14 is Stephen Farrakoff, who's on keyboard, Dave McCandlish, Dave plays bass, very talented Christian. Greg Levy on drums, Tim Rattan plays acoustic guitar and vocals, and then myself, Chris, I play guitar. And if you want more information on us, check out www.station14.net, and you can also pick up our CD on CD Baby. There's information on station14.net where you can find out how to, you can listen to the music, and you can also download some of those clips, and you can get the CD online. So check that out, and if you have any questions for us, email us too. There's a link to the email. That's info@station14.net. So check that out as well. You know, it was really tragic. A few years ago, Mike had to leave the band, and really we were so much better with Mike Barone, his holiness and his guitar mightiness. And so it was really sad that when Mike left, and honestly, the world sort of came to a standstill, and we were sort of depressed and not really sure what we should do. But in the end, we picked ourselves up and we carried on. But we missed Mike on the axe.
That's really funny, Chris. Anyway. Just kidding. Okay, and so I want to talk a little bit about the song God of Wonders now. And earlier today, like I said, I talked with Chris, and this is what he had to say about the song itself.
So I think God of Wonders, we chose it because it's a way, I think it reaches and touches a lot of people about sort of God's awesome presence in our lives. And I think the way the song is written, it I think is appropriate and musically for a lot of people of a lot of different ages. Especially teens. In general, we picked a lot of the music on the CD because it was something that teens were looking for as an alternative to some of the secular music that they were hearing out there.
So without any further ado, we're going to listen to the song God of Wonders, and we'll be right back to comment on it here at the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show.
creation of water, earth, and sky. Heaven saw your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
By Mark Bird and Steve Hindelong, performed by Station 14. And what'd you guys think?
I love that song.
It's really great.
It's an awesome song. It's a good praise song. It's kind of just very peaceful, and it's just very, it's just such a good praise song, I guess.
It reminds me a lot of Old Testament, and particularly the creation story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you see God creating everything and just saying, let there be this and let there be that, and there it is, you know? Let there be light and... It talks about water, earth, and sky, you know. Lord of all creation, obviously, I mean, it just makes sense, you know, that he does that. So It's one of those bigger songs. Does that make sense, kind of? And it even sounds big, you know?
Yeah, it has that good feel, like you're a part of something bigger.
Yeah. It's not like necessarily a specific thing, like, you know, the woman at the well, or, you know, a particular person you healed, or something like that. But it's like the big God of wonders.
Right. You know? The entire thing, he's created everything, not just one small thing.
Yeah, how about the lyrics? Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. And when I stumble into darkness, I will call your name by night. Any thoughts on those? I mean, they mean something to me, but I'd like to hear what you guys think first.
Well, what pops out to me is just the fact that a lot of people have been saying, we've been talking about this in past shows too, how a lot of people only, I guess, call his name when they're in trouble or in darkness, like it says in the song, but how important it is to call to him in everything, and in the light and the darkness, if you know, on a, for all your blessings, or for, you know, when you're having struggles, it's important to always give all the credit to him, not just in hard times.
And we're taught the proper prayer etiquette would be to praise first before you ask for something. Mm-hmm. So you wake up in the morning and you don't wait to talk to God until you know something bad happens in your day. You want to celebrate that he made the day in the morning, and it's because of him that you're working on.
Right, I agree with you that, you know, you're right. People, and I know me in particular, sometimes where before I started coming back into the church, you know, I'd only go to him when I was in need of something. I didn't pray to him every time, but it's a daily thing where I pray to him, and I feel that if I have to ask him something for help, I know he'll be there. And it's kind of, you know, pray for him in the mornings and at night, and even during the middle of the day for no reason.
Sure. You said something interesting there, Kenzie, about we're taught to thank God first and then ask for things. It's interesting. I think you were, because you come from a very good family, you know? seriously, I believe that. And I know that I was, because I came from a good family. I don't know about the rest of the people in this room, because they may all be, you know, beneath us. But, no,
oh,
seriously.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's real nice.
No, but seriously,
I
have to say, really, I was not taught that until years later. And I'm, you know, no diss against my family or anything, but it's neat that you did know that. And it is an interesting thing. We do it in the pattern in the church, too. We ask forgiveness, you know, and we praise God, and then we ask him for our needs and such to be filled. And it's interesting, it's in that order. If you think about it, any human person, you know, if someone came to you and they wanted something or whatever, it's like if they, you know, if they say, you know, hey, we had a problem before, whatever, I'm sorry because I was, you know, being pigheaded about something or whatever, and by the way, you know, you're doing a really great job at the stuff you're doing and all
you look
that.
Really nice
and,
today.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's kind of, you know, and it's not to say that you're buttering God up, so to say, but it's that you're giving it the rightful place, that first off, we do owe him our thanks and our praise,
right.
You know? And then anything we gain from God, he's certainly willing and wanting to give us, as long as it's for our good and for our salvation and for our eternal life.
Right.
So as long as we're complying with his will for us, he wants us to ask like a good father would.
My favorite layout for praying is actually if you use pray as an acronym, and you say, you know, the P is for praise, R is for repent, A is for ask, and Y is for yield. So you're praising God first, you're repenting of everything you've done wrong, and you ask him, and then you yield it all and say, like,
your will be done.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I've never heard that before.
Really?
I probably should have. It's, what, is a Steubenville kind of thing,
it's,
or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Very cool.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
Because it's to pray in the order of your prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, God always answers prayer, too. So sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he just says not right now. You know?
Right.
But he
and
always
answers.
And
that's when the yield part is the most important. You don't end it saying, please, 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 amen.
You never answer it exactly the way you want.
Exactly.
Right. Or we can't expect just because we ask God for something, he's going to give it to us. Because like you said, he will only do what is good for us. Mm-hmm. And we have to trust that. So,
how about the holy, holy, holy that's in here, like in the song? I think it's beautiful. That's in the Mass, too, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that you see in Revelation. You see that the elders and everybody in heaven is saying, holy, holy, holy. And I just love the way it's sort of like, it's like a repeat in this song in the background. But, wow, it just sort of fills it up. You know what I mean? You can see, like, the praise and the worship in that. Also, you know, biblically speaking, God is the highest of all holies, right? Mm-hmm. So we think of him as the holiest. And because the language of the Bible didn't have the superlative, like, good, better, best, they repeat things. So if something's good, they'll say good, good. And if it's really good, it's good, good, good. If it's the best, it'll be good, good, good. So God is holy, holy, holy. Sometimes people go to Mass and they think, why do we say this three times? It's kind of strange. Is it for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or something? But no, it's actually that superlative language that it's originally written in. It's saying, you are the holiest, so you're holy, holy, holy. Cool. Good deal. God of wonders. Mm-hmm. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. I think that's really what I'm looking for anyway, is to try to know the heart of God, you know? Anytime I'm doing what's right, I'm trying to find the heart of God as far as what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me? What do you want done? How do you want it done? I remember once, years and years and years ago, it was probably 20 years ago now, I was talking with God in a prayer, and I basically said, you know, I don't mind, I'll do anything you ask me to do, but I just want to know it's you asking me to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So putting that onus on God, basically, to let you know that it's Him, because we talked last week about so many voices, you know, we hear the world talking, we hear our friends talking, we hear, you know, advertisements and radio and television and billboards and magazines and whatever, but to hear God's voice is really important. So I just said, I need to know it's from you, and then I'm willing to do it. You know, I'll just put my head down and barrel through whatever I have to
do. Right, that would probably be the main hesitation for people. It's not as much that they're not willing. It's just kind of when they're faced with it, they want to make sure that they are doing the right thing.
Very true. Here's another interesting thing here. He says, God of wonders, beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Okay. The universe declares your majesty. Have you guys ever seen the pictures from the Hubble telescope, like the ones on the internet? You can go, if you never got a chance to do this, go on the internet and just put in like Hubble on a Google search or something and look at the pictures of the galaxies and the universe, the stuff that's out there is amazing. And these things are billions of light years away or whatever, so they may be gone by now as far as we know, and just the light from them is reaching our Earth finally. But it's so beautiful and so immense, you know, and the globe or the Earth, the actual planet Earth, would just be lost like a small speck of dust in these huge, you know, clouds of planets and solar systems and stars and just amazing, immense stuff. And God made it all, you know? And it really makes you, you know, realize, wow, you know, the universe declares your majesty.
Yes.
I think, is it St. Paul? Someone talks about God encoding, and I'm using Scott Hahn's language here for it, but God encoding himself in creation. So creation points to God, and any being that has reason or whatever can detect that there's a God.
Yes, I talked to somebody about this one time. We were having the free will discussion and arguing back and forth whether we had free will or whatever, and I had brought up the point about, you know, God gives us the choice to choose Him and to choose if we believe in Him, and they brought up an interesting point saying, no, I have no choice. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, of course you have a choice, because people turn away from God all the time. And he said, no, all I have to do is walk outside. And I mean, I have no choice but to believe that God exists. Like, you have to be completely, you know, dull sense-wise, like, to not admit that there's something bigger out there. And I thought that was kind of a cool point.
Yeah, and this song just, I think, says all that in a nutshell, you know? Yeah, Taylor.
It's just like, how can all this just be a mistake, you know, if there's no God? I mean, everything's just so perfect, and everything just fits together and everything. And we were out on Allen Creek, you know, this past weekend, and, you know, we were in Aruba, and one of our friends, Patrick McDonald, he was just like, how could this just be an accident? You know, just the water and all the trees and all the nature around it. And he's like, there has to be God. You know, I don't know, I understand how people cannot believe that, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is a new way to put it, to say that our universe declares it, because it just by being what it is, is telling.
And sometimes you hear people, like, you know, arguing these scientific points or whatever, and they're saying, like, you know, oh, science shows this and science shows that, but there's this old idea of a design and a purpose, you know, and you look at the mathematical possibilities of something being designed and something with a purpose, and the design and the purpose going together. And it's like, if you look at the mathematical possibilities of a desert island with a bolt and a nut coming together and landing in, so you're walking on a desert island for the first time, and you're walking like right there on the beach, and you come across a bolt and a nut, and they're screwed together, right? The mathematical possibilities of those things just happening to come together in space and spinning together just in those perfect forms and everything, and having a design, which is that one fits into the other and is made to hold something together, and the fact that they are there and they are together, you know, is like the mathematical possibilities are outrageous. They're just incredibly, they're beyond what most people can just even comprehend.
Yes.
And yet we look at something like the human eyeball, which has like, you know, 15,000 times more complexity than just a nut and a bolt, you know? And people go, no, well, you know, science says, yes, you know, that God probably doesn't exist. It's like, no way.
How, I mean, who, to me, finding out how things work, like science, the definition of science is figuring out, like looking at God's design, basically.
See,
like,
how God did it.
To be like this, like, we're just discovering how it is, like, when we make big discoveries about how something works, it's like, because we've always wanted to know how God could do that, and then we find out. I mean, like, that's all it is. It's like, science is just an explanation. Like, who are we to say that something that he created, like, how can we outsmart God by saying he doesn't exist when, like, he created this for us?
There was a great poster that used to hang in St. Francis de Sales elementary school, and it was Einstein. It was a picture of Einstein, and he said, and it had a quote from him saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, something like, I want to know the thoughts of God, all the rest is details or something. And it was a great poster.
Right, yeah. I know the quote you're talking about. I don't remember the exact words either, but...
Don't they say that, like, the more he studied the world and, like, the universe, the more he believed in a higher power type of thing?
I think so.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Amazing
stuff.
I mean,
he came to the end of that saying, the science versus God argument, I mean, come on.
It's crazy.
I just think this sums up praise and worship to me, because it's like, it's all in here.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to think deeply into it if you don't want to. You can just
enjoy the song.
Imagine a mountain pasture and trees and lakes if you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like getting on New Agey on this, are you? Because we'll have to kick you off our radio show.
Yeah, I know. Because
you're just like, you're sitting out there saying, you know, you are holy.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to move on now. We're listening to the music today of Station 14. Keeping in mind that they did not write these songs, but they do play them, and they chose them for a specific reason. So once again, I had an opportunity to talk to Chris Rockwell from the band earlier today, and we asked him about Lord Move or Move Me, and this is what Chris had to say about that particular song.
Lord Move or Move Me is a really, I think, intensely intimate and personal song, and one of the things that we liked about it was the fact that the lyrics sort of spoke of sort of either had God moving or God moving us to action. I think oftentimes we spend a lot of time feeling guilty as Christians that we're like not doing enough or not doing enough. But, you know, realize that God has the power and that God controls all of this. So if we can be present and ask him what it is that he wants of us, does he want to move or is he going to move us to action?
Find words to pray. I'm a little down today. Can you hear me? Can you hold me? I feel a million miles away, and I don't know what to say. Can you hear me? Anyway, what I need is for out your hand. You have taught me, no matter what, you'd understand. Lord, move in a way that I've never seen before. 'Cause there's a mountain in the way and a lock on the door. I'm drifting crashing on the shore. Lord, move, move.
this. Lord, I know I need you to help me do this. Lord, move in a way that I've never seen before. 'Cause there's a mountain in my way. Crashing on shore, Lord, move, move, oh, move me out of this place of complacency and to a place of fellowship with thee.
By Jeremy Deibler, performed by Station 14. And what'd you guys think of that one?
I thought it was really good, honestly. It's kind of telling how, you know, he's there and, like, he's asking for him to reach out his hand and kind of guide him and teach him how which ways to go.
Mm-hmm. I like this song. There's a verse in the Bible, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's like, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13.
There you go.
Are you Protestant?
We just like those old BBS songs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I can do all things.
That's
just such a song reminds me of.
It's great that that you know Mary was able to pull that out. Most people are not able to do that. Most Catholics are not able to do that, and sadly so, because many of our Protestant brothers and sisters are very good at that. And unfortunately, we allow ourselves to be intimidated at times and think, we don't know the Bible that well. But you know, our church is a Bible-based church, and we hear three readings a week. You know, the first reading, the second reading, the Psalms actually would make it a fourth one, mm-hmm. and then the Gospels as well. So we really do, and we go through the whole Bible every 3 years. So our church is very scripturally mm-hmm. based. So good deal. Thoughts again on the song? I didn't mean to get off that too quickly, but...
I particularly like the first verse. It was kind of reminded me of how, you know, they're saying, I can't find the words to pray, and can you help me? And I think what's so great about that is... we don't necessarily need to worry about what we say when we pray, because the Lord always knows what's on our heart and always knows what we need. Because it's His will, so we don't have to worry about asking the right things or saying the right things. All we really need to do is just praise God, and He will, you know, give us many graces, and He will lead us in the right path, as long as He knows that we are willing to give ourselves for Him.
Also, yielding to the Holy Spirit when we're praying. If you don't know what to pray for, ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray, because He will do that, and you'll get what you need.
Isn't it also part in the like the daily Mass and all? Is like answers all the prayers in my heart, and like when we're because like when we know the words to say for the prayers.
Well, during the petitions.
Yeah, the like Mass. They say, you know, take a moment to pray what's in your heart. So, you know, like if you
mm-hmm.
don't know what to say, you know, you can always say, you know, listen to what my heart's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, absolutely. That makes
pray.
Sense.
Mm-hmm. There are things that no one can put in words correctly. So
that's right.
Prayers.
Yeah, that's what St. Paul talks about in the groanings of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit kind of groan within you kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Hey, another thing. How about like the human experience? The whole first stanza, I think, has to deal with like the human experience. It's kind of sad in a sense. and people are like reaching out for God. Not that it's sad that they are, but that they're not making it on their own. Things aren't working here. They feel bad. They feel a million miles away. They don't know what to say. Wondering if God can hear them. The whole bit. I think that's such a human experience. And even like to me, a lot of like what's in Job was like this, if we read in Job. And then he's kind of like, Job is sort of in the same mindset or whatever of Lord, move or move me kind of thing. He even talks about like how he's going to be dying soon. And, you know, he just wishes he was dead and all this stuff instead, you know, because he's like saying, do something to prove that I didn't, you know, do anything particularly wrong. And he admits to being a sinner and all that. But he's saying, you know, I didn't do anything that I deserve to have all these terrible things happening to me. And at the same time, they are, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a real sense, I think almost every person goes through this in their life, that there's trials and such, especially if they're serious about their faith, you know. So can you guys relate to it on that level, maybe? Does it help if you're feeling down or sad or like your prayers aren't working or something like that to listen to a song that has these sort of lyrics?
Yeah, I think because we all have days where, like, we can't hear God. Mm-hmm. And when we try and, like, that doesn't mean he's not there. I mean, didn't Mother Teresa go, like, 40 years without hearing anything?
Dryness, yeah. She spoke of being dry for, like, 40 years of her life.
It's Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
And
she still just kept on doing what she was doing.
Mm-hmm. And she was a daily communicant, and she spent, I think, what, 2 hours a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament and Eucharistic Adoration and went to Reconciliation two and three times a week. Daily, was it? Daily? So, you know, she's hitting on all cylinders, and she was having dryness in a spiritual sense, so... But it's knowledge of, we know, and so we go with what we know, not with what we feel. So, yeah, absolutely. Good.
And I think it's more than just, like it says here a lot, how take it away from me, like, what I'm going through. But it's also the fact that, like, what we offering up your sufferings and your trials and actually give them to God. You know what I mean? A lot of people just say, why is this happening to me? And... you know, why isn't he taking it away? It's like, you need to offer it up to God so he can take it from you, you know?
Great line here. Lord, I know the only way is through this. Lord, I know I need you to help me do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. I mean, a lot of people want to circumvent it, like you said. They want to get around suffering or they don't want to have to go through it.
They want the easy way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he gets it.
It's never the easy way.
He gets it and he understands and he's saying we have to go through this. So that's really... I think a maturity in the spirit, maybe, not to be just saying, oh, please let it be taken away. Nothing wrong with let it be taken away. I mean, Jesus himself prayed that three times in the garden. But a sense of like, okay, I know I got to do this because this is it. So help me. That's the key to it, I think, there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one line here in the course that says, because there's a mountain to move.
In the way.
Unlocking the door. It's kind of saying, like, open, you know, unlock the door that's there in front of me so I can... get all the help and what I need,
can
and
be
move,
open.
You know, move the obstacles, or at least help me get around the obstacles that are in my way,
right,
to see what you're revealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So just a great song overall to maybe empathize with other Christians and particularly Catholics that are looking for Christ, looking for God, and maybe not particularly feeling like they're being heard or answered immediately that day, that moment of prayer, but at the same time giving us... a joy in knowing that he's listening and that he's there and he's going to answer it and he's going to take care of us. And that there's other people in the body of Christ that feel the same way. So this song very much edifies the body of Christ, when you say. So, very good. Okay. Well, we're going to move on to another song now called Meet With Me. And again, we had a chance to talk with Chris Rockwell from Station 14 earlier today. And this is what he had to say about the song Meet With Me.
Meet With Me was chosen because it's a way that we seek out God in our lives, you know, sort of being present for God to work in our lives. And so, and it's a song that works not only in our praise and worship, but it also works in the Mass setting too, because we sort of go to Mass, we go to the sacraments to seek out God, and we ask and for his presence in our life and for him to be present in a special way through the sacraments.
Come and meet with me. I'm
was Meet With Me by Lamont Hibbert, performed by Station 14, and we will be right back after this break. Before our break, we were listening to Meet With Me by Station 14. Well, performed by Station 14, I should say. The song is by Lamont Hibbert. What did you guys think about it?
It was good. It was upbeat. It was nice. I love the guy's voice who sang it. I love his voice. It's so good.
And that guy would be...
Dave? Is it Dave?
Dave McCandlish. Okay. Dave McCandlish. He's the bass player and one of the vocalists for Station 14. And he actually built my basement, too. So if anybody out there needs, like, some work done in their home or whatever, Dave does excellent, excellent work. I'll reference him for you.
He's multi-talented.
He is a great
guy. Just like everybody else in the band.
And he looks kind of like a wild man, doesn't he, with the really long hair and stuff like that. And yet a very, very devout Christian man. Very, very holy. I would, if you ever need prayer, Dave's a prayer warrior type thing, too. Question for you guys about the song here. Meet With Me. There's so many places we see, you know, God meeting with man in the Bible. Certainly when Jesus Christ comes the incarnate, he is God and man together. But how about some of the Old Testament stuff, say like Moses and all that, where we see, you know, him going up to the burning bush and God speaking to him. And then maybe compare that a little bit to like a mass, a youth mass, a mass for youth, coming to the Lord and seeking the Lord. I don't know. Any thoughts? Has God ever meet you guys when you go to Mass?
That's true. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me.
Mm-hmm. The Eucharist.
Adoration.
Yeah. Adoration.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right on. That's a good thought, because Mass is so special in that way where we're partaking in something and it's a two-way thing. It's not just us praying. I mean,
we're also meeting with the angels and saints in heaven too, coming together. And
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, right? So in this situation, we look for him at the Mass or whatever. He's looking for us, which is another thing. We talked about sometimes people think it's not that important to go to Mass, and it's actually breaking one of the commandments to keep the Sabbath holy. But not only that, you're not giving your assent to the other people around you who would be sitting around you in the parish there in the church to see, oh, you believe in God too, you know? Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things for any of us is to realize there is a God and we're not him, you know? Mm-hmm. And so by being there, you show that. You give your assent to the fact that there is a God and you're not him. And other people see that. It makes it easier for someone else to believe, especially with teens and young adults. There's so many people out there who are not preaching that in their lifestyles, you know? So it's important to be there. Yeah, so,
yeah. Yeah, there's lots of people still, you know, that say they're one with God. They're like, devout Catholics, but like you don't see them going to church all the time, or you know, following the
you're right, and that's terrible.
And then I just don't see, you know, I've come back to the church lately, and you know, I was one of them who would say, you know, I'm a Catholic, you know, I really believe in God and all, and yet I wasn't going to church regularly, I wasn't devoting myself to God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's lots of people who do say, you know, they're one with God, but yet they don't go to church on a regular basis. They don't go to, you know, adoration and confession and everything to actually be one with him.
We're glad to have you back in the church. We had a great deacon here, Deacon Keating, who went on. I think he's in Nebraska now, right? He teaches?
Creighton.
Creighton University, a great Catholic university.
Yes.
Deacon Jim Keating, right? He was here at St. Michael's Parish before I was here, but he did come out to our Dead Theologian Society thing once out in Newark, Ohio, when I was out there, and he talked about being present to God, and he said, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can see God out in, you know, the mountains and in the woods and the streams and things. And that's great because God is out there. And we talked about him being encoded in nature and all this so that we can find him. But he said, think of it like this. Think of it like if you were married and you told your spouse, you know, I really love you and I want to meet you. And it's, say, our anniversary. So we're going to meet at a restaurant at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And then at 5 o'clock on Saturday, your spouse went to the restaurant waiting to meet you. And you drove out to the restaurant and drove on by the restaurant and drove out to a park somewhere. And then you sat down and then 5:30 came along and 6:30 came along and 7:30 came along and 8:30 came along. And the whole time you were thinking about your spouse and how much you love them and everything, you know, and you would go through in your mind when you got married and what they looked like on the day of your wedding and all the special things, maybe the kids you had and the houses you've lived in and just how much you love them and how much you care for them. But in the meantime, what would your spouse be doing back there at the restaurant, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting to see you, and how angry they would be getting slowly but surely because you were not truly present to them, even though you were making them present to you by thinking about them. So we in the Catholic Church have a true presence of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And so it's very different than just thinking about him or going out to the mountains and praying. We can meet God certainly anywhere. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So anywhere we are, anytime we think of him, anytime we're praying, we're with God. But receiving him, like you said, Kenzie, at the Mass, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, being there, hearing his word, and listening to the homily about his word, hopefully, and then receiving him in the Eucharist. That is truly being present. So, any other thoughts on the lyrics here? I like, as I wait, you make me strong, okay, like fight the good fight. As I long, draw me to your arms. There's a real thing there about, like, longing for God. We talked about that in the first song, too. God of wonders. And then also, won't you come and fill this place? The Lord inhabits the praises of his people is one of the scriptural references there. And as I stand and sing your praise, you come and fill this place. It's like, yeah, you know, when we put ourselves into it, and maybe this would be a good time to talk about teenagers and young adult and being fully involved in the Mass. How many times, you guys can, you tell me, when you're at Mass, do you see teens and young adults really getting into it most often? Are they singing? Are they saying the words? Or are they kind of sitting there waiting for it to get over?
Pretty much sitting and waiting for it to get over.
Very few. You look over, like, even adults, like, none of them sing. It's just kind of like, and then it kind of makes you not want to sing because you're sitting there and you're like, oh, no one else is singing. Yeah.
You don't want to stand out.
Yeah, type of thing.
And yet, we've been told that, you know, you're supposed to love God with your, all of your mind, all of your heart, you know, all of your body, just everything, all your, it should be completely there. And think about any one of those teenagers or young adults that you know, and say maybe they're wearing an Ohio State Buckeyes t-shirt or a Cleveland Browns t-shirt or Cleveland Indians or any of the other sports teams around this area or even anywhere else in the country. Think of your favorite local sports team or national sports team. What happens, Cincinnati Reds, I see Taylor's wearing a Cincinnati Reds thing today. What happens when your team scores? What happens when we get that touchdown and we win the game or whatever? Do people kind of sit around and go, well, isn't that nice? They just ran over the goal line and scored the winning goal.
That's how I act. Really, well,
that's how you are.
Or do people jump up and down and yell and shout and scream and hug each other and paint their faces red and blue and all these other kinds of things, whatever, you know? Think of how fully involved we are in sports and sporting events. We have parties about them. We watch them on TV. We scream and yell and jump up and down, full-bodied praise and worship, basically, of what? Of man and of these games, these simple games. Yet here we are at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the source and summit of our faith, the beginning and the end of our lives and everything that ever was or ever will be. And yet we're kind of like, okay, well, yeah, we'll kind of repeat some of the words back and maybe sing if we have to, if no one's looking, you know? And it's supposed to be, we're supposed to be into it. One of the things I love about this song, and you guys tell me, how did you feel about the way Dave was singing it?
I loved the way he was singing it.
I loved it.
Yeah, I know. What are you saying when we were listening to it?
We were saying that it wasn't very Catholic or traditional, I guess, the way he was singing it, but I loved it. It was totally, you could tell he was just feeling the song, and it's great when that emotion comes off from the singer.
Yeah, Dave just cuts loose, and it's a praise and worship thing. You can tell that's coming from somewhere other than just his throat and his mouth and some guy that's in church. He is, like, giving it his spirit. You know, he's just putting his spirit into praising and worshiping his God. And that's why, that's one of the great things about Station 14. I think all of the vocalists in the group, and there's quite a few of them, Stefan Ferenkopf also sings, Chris sings, and that's Chris Rockwell, Kim Rattan sings beautifully, And I mean, anybody that's in the band, really, whether it's the instrument they're playing or their vocal from singing, they are just 100% into it. And it's more than just the individual ability to play or sing well. Mm-hmm. It's the collection of them all together really praising and worshiping God. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
No, else you were saying, was it like the singing of people in the church and all? When they come and done like a couple of the youth mass, you know, like the younger kids are more into the singing because of the songs and the lyrics they can relate to more. And you know, you can tell, you know, they're more, the songs they play during those youth mass are more upbeat and more, I don't know if you want to say more upbeat than what we normally would sing, but like the kids and everybody else, and even you'd see the adults even getting into it and singing along with the kids and everybody else.
It's more appealing than...
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
But at the same time, it's more appealing without changing the mass. I think that's a really important
part. Yeah, they would adapt songs that they do play to the mass that's involved.
So we're still liturgically correct.
Exactly.
Right.
Yet it's more contemporary, and it brings in the youth that come to hear it, and then they can feel more able to praise and worship God with their whole spirit, rather than just something that's sort of like, you know, a pipe organ or maybe a piano and a single person singing. Nothing against those things either, but it's interesting. We in the Catholic Church seem to have a problem with this because, and there's back and forth on it. I can really see both sides. But if you take a song, for instance, like Silent Night, I don't think there's anybody in the audience listening or anybody that it would be in our church locally here or even in the Catholic Church that would have a problem with someone singing Silent Night at a mass, right? But Silent Night was actually written because the pipe organ at the church where was the guy that wrote it, the night when it was supposed to be played at Christmas Eve, the mice in the church ate through the pipe organ bellows. That's like the big sacks of air that blow air through the organ, you know? And so there was no way to play the organ that night. So it was played originally on guitar, written and played on guitar. So here you have, like, you know, people that are out there saying, no, we don't like guitar masses and we don't like contemporary sounds. What does it take to make a song liturgically correct? Well, mm-hmm. I think so much of that is lyrical content, like what the words are to the song, the intention of the artist. We kind of talk about that sometimes. Maybe the presentation to some extent. But you see in the Bible, you know, people playing on the harp, people playing on a lyre, people playing on lutes. These are all stringed instruments that are much closer to guitars than any kind of piano or pipe organ or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And yet you get some people that are really bent out of shape about a guitar mass. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's actually more scriptural. So your thoughts on that, maybe?
Right.
Yeah, I've actually a group of people I used to, where I used to live, I used to talk to them and they, you know, all of a sudden had this movement against guitars in mass and anything contemporary in mass. And the way I look at it is the mass is a mass with the music or not. You know what I mean? Like, the words are the same, everything is, as long as it remains liturgically correct, the Eucharist is still there, the readings, that's what mass is. It's not necessarily, it's not mass because this instrument is liturgically correct.
You're right, the presentation, like you were saying, and the intention of the artist is bigger than the instrument.
Right, and it's giving everything praises God. You know what I mean? I don't see how a guitar couldn't praise God better than an organ. You know what I mean? It's music and it's giving glory to God, and that's really what matters.
I know one of my good friends, like, she goes to St. Michael, and she went to the youth mass, and then, you know, she goes to the regular masses when, you know, the organ's playing in the choir, and she doesn't like the youth mass at all because she's just used to that old-fashioned, you know, the choir type of thing. And, like, I think it's also a matter of just opinion whether you like, you know, this upbeat
not
stuff,
like,
or
yeah,
like she doesn't, she, like, she said, yeah, it's totally fine, but that's just not her taste. And
right,
for
and
a mass,
in no way are we saying if, you know, guitars should be at mass instead of organs. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of it's all the same, and it is. You can go to a mass if you like, you know, more contemporary music, or if you like the traditional mass. There's those too. It's just about as long as the actual, it remains liturgically correct. That's really what matters.
If you could play One Bread, One Body and a guitar and a mass, just like one guitar, one voice, and it'd be beautiful. Just,
and aren't we blessed that we have all the options at our parish, and then many parishes around our diocese do as well. So
it's neat that we're talking about Station 14 Music, because that's the band that does mass for us.
And once again, we want to mention that they have a website. It's www.station14.net, not .com. And then also, if you want to write to them and talk to them about the CD that they have out now and the other ones that may be coming out soon, or if you'd like to book them at your parish, it is www.station14.net for their website, or write to them at info@station14.net. That's info@station14.net. Once again, we want to thank Station 14 for allowing us to use the music that they sang and performed. Also, to Chris Rockwell, who joined us by phone earlier today, and to all the teens and young adults here for the St. Michael's Teen Radio Show. So, anybody got our tagline to sign out on?
Take our advice or burn in hell.
That's right. We'll see you all again next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Yes, hello, my little apple dumplings. I must say to you now that I would be remiss in my duties if I did not explain that the materials contained in this podcast are the, how shall we say it, intellectual property of Mr. Michael Anthony Barone and should not be used without his expressed written permission. Otherwise, one might find oneself in violation of copyright laws of God and man. Thank you.